In verse 4 of Revelation chapter 19, we read this. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. Matthew chapter 22, I'm beginning to read at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, How did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Well, I don't know what your first recollection of a wedding is. I remember my first recollection. I remember getting dressed up in a wee suit that I know I would rather not have had on, and a wee bow tie, and getting put in a car and having to travel for what seemed like an eternity. It wasn't really all that far. It was only from Wishaw to Grangemouth, which probably even in those days was no more than maybe an hour and 45 minutes or maybe a couple of hours at the most. My grandpa wasn't a fast driver. And then finding ourselves in this service, which just seemed, I'm sure, like any other church service to me, and probably nodding off at some point in it, and then going to a fancy hotel, and the thing that the family would never let me forget was that after about the third course in a meal, which I think had seven separate courses, in a very loud and clear voice, I said to my mum, so that everyone else, at least around our table, could hear, Mum, does yon grace still stand? Because we had said grace before we had our meal. And here it seemed an hour had gone, they had served us up three courses, they were bringing more, and I wanted to know if we had to say thank you to God for our food again. Those are my first memories. I don't know about yours. Maybe some of us have never been to a wedding. That's possible. But what we do know here, in this which we have read this evening, in the Word of God and the Bible, is that the wedding that is pictured in the parable in Matthew chapter 22 was no ordinary wedding. It was a great event. It was a big affair. It was a royal wedding. Now, it's a few years since we had a royal wedding. I'm not sure how many. It must be 3-4 years, something like that. I'm sorry, I'm not such a great follower of these things that I know the dates, but it must have been at least 3 years ago, if not more. But I remember at the time, great excitement, and the first time that there was actually shown on the TV one of the invitations. What the invitation looked like, and who had received invitations, and who hadn't, and it was the chatter of the media for days, if not weeks, of who was invited to the royal wedding. Exciting days. But here in Matthew chapter 22, we read about a wedding. It's a royal wedding. It's the son of the king who is being married. And one of the things that we notice as we begin to read this is that the invitations have gone out. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. So there were sort of two stages to this. I remember a few years ago being asked to conduct a wedding in a very unusual place. It was the only time I've ever been there. Probably will never be again. But it was actually in one of the private schools in Edinburgh. And the wedding took place in the chapel of that school. And it was a beautiful setting, this lovely big old building. And Ryan, the groom, Ryan, it's got to be one of the sweetest, maybe at the same time cheesiest lines I've ever heard in a speech. He said, as people and guests have come today and looked at the school, Fettes College, in case anybody's wondering where it was. He says, people have said to me, it's like Hogwarts. He said, I want to tell you that I'm here today as part of a fairy story that even J.K. Rowling couldn't have written. Okay, maybe cheesy, maybe we cringe. But Ryan was just telling us how much he was in love with his bride. But I still remember how, probably about 7 or 8 months before the wedding, I received an envelope, and it had a fridge magnet in it. And the fridge magnet simply said, keep, whatever, it was in May, I think, keep May such and such clear. And people all over Scotland, and no doubt some in England, and definitely some over in Ireland as well, because Ryan's family are Irish, and they had all been receiving these little fridge magnets that said, keep such and such a date clear. So there was advance warning. And then in time, the invitations went out. Now, after those invitations went out, we didn't get another invitation saying, right, it's ready, come. We were more or less expected to appear on the day. But what we read about here in Matthew chapter 22 is a situation where the invitations have gone out, people have received them, but then once it's actually time for the banquet, and remember, within the culture that Jesus is in, you didn't just have a 40 or 45 minute service in church, then, the photographs and then a meal and then that was it and everyone went home. These things could spread over days. They were big affairs. And this parable that Jesus tells, this parable of the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, well, the invitations go out and then right on the day, the servants are sent out, and they say, it's time to come. And then the most inexplicable thing happens. The people who have been invited don't bother. They don't come. So the king sends more servants. He says, tell those who have been invited, I've prepared my dinner. The oxen, the fattened calf, they've been butchered, everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet. They paid no attention. Went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Judgment, swift and certain, upon those who had rejected the invitation of the king. But notice that was only some of them. I find, as I notice there in verse 5, that there seem to be two different responses to this invitation that the king has given. There's the invitation of outright hostility. Seized the servants, mistreated them and killed them. But there's another group who, there's no hostility at all. They just paid no attention and went on about their business. You see, the invitation that we are actually thinking about this evening, friends, is an invitation that God gives to all to be part of his kingdom, to have a place in his kingdom. Because remember, that's what Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And the sad reality is that there are times when that invitation goes forth and it is met by some with just blank indifference. Couldn't care less. And sometimes, friends, the gospel, the good news that Jesus came into this world to give life and give salvation, is actually met with hostility. And people are angry. And they say, we don't want to hear this. We want none of this. There can be different responses. But they are both failures to respond. Notice what the king then does. Well, he doesn't say, well, the wedding's off. The problem wasn't with his son. The problem wasn't with his son at all. The problem lay with the fact that those who had been invited couldn't be bothered coming. So what does he do? Sends his servants out. He says, it's ready. Those who were invited didn't deserve to come. Go and find any of them you can and bring them in. Go to the street corners now. Pretty much in those days, you wouldn't really expect to find nice people hanging about in street corners. Generally wouldn't. That wasn't the way of things. That's kind of what Jesus is saying in this picture. But go and find them. The servants went into the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and they filled the wedding hall with guests. Oh, there was a wedding reception. There were those who were found and were brought in. And we're glad to come. Now, what Jesus is saying here is something we need to understand. It's not so much that Jesus is getting a dig at anybody, but Jesus is saying something that people needed to hear. You see, Jesus' very presence among the people was in many ways similar to God having sent an invitation to enter into his kingdom. That's what Christ had come to do, to open up that way into God's kingdom. But there were those who were rejecting Christ. The people, as it were, who the invitation had been there in their inboxes for more than 1,000 years, as the word of the prophets down through the years. God will send his Messiah. God will establish his kingdom. God invites us to be part of it. And they were either clicking delete before they had even read it, or they were just leaving it unopened to expire. The religious people of the day, who felt that they were at the center of surely God's purpose, God's plan. But perhaps they felt they were too good for that. So this king in the story that Jesus tells goes out and brings folks in off the streets. And I don't know about you, but if I was out in the street and I received suddenly an invitation to a royal wedding, I would probably start thinking, what am I going to wear? Would I wear a kilt? Would I wear a suit? Do I need to go and hire something? Do I need to hire one of these sort of morning suits or something, or coats and tails? I don't have anything to wear. And some of you are maybe smiling, some of the women, because that seems to be the cry whenever a wedding invitation drops through the door. I don't have anything to wear. But you see, this didn't seem to be a problem to these folks. And we wonder why. You know, there are strong indications that there was a tradition in those days that if you were invited to a wedding, you didn't have to worry about the fact that you had nothing to wear. Do you know why? Because the one who was inviting you would provide all you needed. He would provide what it was that you needed to wear for that wedding. That provision would be made for you. Some of you are probably thinking to yourself, I wish that same tradition existed today. But when we're thinking of this in a spiritual sense, friends, it does still exist today. Because the God who invites us to come to Him doesn't say, only come if you're well-dressed. Only come if you're probably properly attired and suited out for this event. No. You see, when we come to God, we don't come, as it were, wearing our own costume. Because our own costumes, the Bible says, are not the best clothes that we can afford. Our own costume, our own covering, as far as we see it, as God's concerned, He calls filthy rags. You might think that's a bit off, you know. This is the best stuff I've got, you know. I remember the comment once that was made of Dolly Parton, the country singer, and she said, you know, people say I dress cheap. She says, people have no idea how much it costs to dress this cheap. But the reality, friends, is that regardless of how we're dressed, to come to God, it's not what we're wearing on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside that matters. And the Bible speaks about a covering that God can give for us, which He calls righteousness. It's not something that we can put on ourselves. It's nothing that we can engineer or produce for ourselves. It's something that only God can give, in the way that the king inviting people to the banquet would provide for them what covering they would need. He provides for us what we need. And that covering of righteousness is not our good work. It's Christ. And that's why verse 11 then becomes significant, because it says in verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Now, what's happening here? It's not that the guy's wearing nothing, you know, that would just be so embarrassing. That's not the situation. What seems very clear from what Jesus is saying and how his hearers would understand this is that here's someone who's turned up at this wedding banquet wearing what he thinks he needs, rather than wearing what the king has provided for him. And you see, friends, there may be some folks who think, well, I could never go to this banquet because I could never provide myself with the clothes that I need to wear. I'd never have what would be necessary for that. Remember a few weeks ago when we had the wee video clip of the church work going on in Easter House? And the quote from the guy who in time became a pastor of a church there in Easter House. He said, you know, I used to walk past those churches. He said, with two things in my mind. He says, the first thing in my mind was, I was too bad to ever go in there. And the other thing in my mind was the people in there were too good ever to come out. You know, friends, if we find ourselves holding back from the invitation that God gives to us to come to Him and think we're holding back because we're bad and God would never want us. No. Think of what we sung in our opening praise. Hands that should discard me, hold wounds which tell me, come, come. You know, Jesus says, come to us. Not come with your own finery or the best that you can manage or the best you can offer, but come with what Jesus has done for us, His righteousness. Here's somebody, it seems, who has come along and thought, I don't need the king's clothes. My own clothes are going to be just fine, thank you. No, friends. No matter how poor our clothes or how poor our lives, no matter how good our clothes or how good we might imagine ourselves to be, none of it counts with God. Only His clothes, His righteousness that He provides for us. These garments were provided But here's someone who comes and tries to get into heaven, as it were, on the basis of his own righteousness. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. And sadly, those whose hope for heaven is their own goodness and their own righteousness will face the fate. The verse 13 and 14 tells us, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's separation. It's judgment. It's separation from God. Many are invited, but few are chosen. We're not really going to dwell on that point there this evening. There is a theme in Scripture that says many are invited, but the only way we know we are chosen is when we accept that invitation. That gracious invitation that God gives in the gospel to come to Him. You see, friends, this parable that Jesus tells here is not just a story to help people understand that it's His righteousness that matters. And He invites all to come who will come and, as it were, accept the righteousness that He gives. There's more to it than that. You see, this story of a wedding is actually a parable of a real wedding that is going to take place. And that's why we read in Revelation chapter 19, because at the end of time, there is going to be a wedding. There is going to be a wedding, and we read about it in Revelation 19. There's this remarkable scene in heaven. It is beyond our imagining. You know, somebody sent me a selfie that he had taken yesterday beside the Niagara Falls. Some of you have maybe been there. I can just imagine the sound of all that water going over those falls. Must be thunderous. David Livingstone, the Scottish explorer, when he went to Africa, heard the natives telling him about a place where they said, the smoke thunders. David Livingstone wondered, what's the smoke that thunders? And they led him to it, and he was, as far as we know, the first white man to ever see the Victoria Falls, where hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of gallons of water, I don't know, a minute or an hour, were going over those falls. And the mist that came up was the smoke. And the sound of those waters was the thunders. And in the language of the people there in Africa, they said, it's the smoke that thunders. And John says, I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. Why? For the wedding of the Lamb has come. Who is this Lamb? This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the one who has portrayed Himself throughout Scripture as the bridegroom. This is the bridegroom. And just as in the parable Jesus told, there was a king and his son, there is a king who is God. This speaks of a real event, an event which will come true. For there is a king. He is God. And He is a son who is Jesus. And there will be a wedding banquet. God's Word promises it. And that's what we read about here. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to wear. We're going to look at this briefly before we draw our thoughts to a conclusion this evening. You see, here's a wedding that takes place in heaven. The groom is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, who is the Lord Jesus. The Lamb of God, who right at the beginning of His earthly ministry, John the Baptist looked at Him and pointed to anybody, and anybody who would listen to Him, He said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. No one else can do that. No one else can take away your sin. No one else can take away my sin. Only Jesus can do that, the Lamb of God. Why the language of a lamb? Because the lamb was given as the sacrifice. Its blood was shed to atone for sin. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us so that our sins can be forgiven. So that's who the bridegroom is. But it says here, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Well, Have you been invited? I want to tell you this evening, friends, you don't need to wonder that question. You don't need to wonder if you've been invited. The Bible is full of invitations for us to come to God to find forgiveness for our sins. Proverbs 1, verse 24. I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man has regarded. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are just two examples, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. But you know, as you look at so many of these examples, we discover that the lack is not in God's invitation. He invites us to come to Him to find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the problem? It's not that God is not willing to invite us to come to Him. It's that we are unwilling to respond and to receive that invitation and come to Him. Yet here in these verses, we read, the wedding of the Lamb has come. That's Jesus. And His bride has made herself ready. Who is the bride? That's the next question, perhaps, in our minds. Well, it says, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. You know, the only righteous acts of the saints are the righteousness of Christ working out through the saints. So what's this fine linen? It's that cleansing that God gives. That's what makes the bride ready. You know, we sang a hymn earlier this evening that contained the line, from heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. We actually find the basis for that verse in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. And this language tells us clearly that that's how Christ sees the church. That's how Christ sees every believer. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say here. This invitation, as I've said, is an invitation that is given to all to come to Christ and to find in Him salvation. The problem is not with God's offer. The problem is our failure to respond to that salvation which is ours in Christ. A failure to find forgiveness that can only come through turning from sin and believing in Jesus. A failure to set aside our own hopes, our own thoughts of how we can do things to please God and trust only in Jesus. But let me say this to you this evening in closing. When by God's grace we do respond to that invitation, and we do repent, that means to turn around of heart and mind that says, no longer can I think I can be right before God on my own. To realize that only what Christ did can make us right before God. To realize that. When we respond and when we do repent and we do believe, we discover that we are something, we are part of something more wonderful than right now we could ever imagine. Because it's at that point we discover that we have not simply been invited to this wedding of the Lamb as guests. Oh no. You're not invited as a guest. You're invited as the bride. As the bride. Because the bride of Christ is the church. The bride of Christ is made up of every single person who has put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Think of that. God invites you to a wedding. He invites you to the wedding of His Son. But He invites you not simply as a guest to that wedding. He invites you as the bride. A bride, as that song and those verses in Ephesians remind us, a bride which Christ Himself has purchased with His blood. You know, back in those days, it was the case that if a man wanted a bride, he would need to have a dowry. He would need to give some money to the family in order for them to say, yes, you can marry our daughter. She's worth so much to us. And I dare say some were worth more than others. And I don't know how they had the scale, and it was probably based on how much they reckoned somebody could pay. Friends, think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you and for me, he didn't simply say, I wonder how much they're worth. No. He said, I'll give my life. He shed his blood. He gave his life as a ransom. You know, there's a verse in 1 Peter that says, we weren't ransomed, we weren't redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood, the Lamb of God, who gave his life for us. I ask you therefore, friends, as we close this evening, the question really is not, have you received the invitation? Because each and every one of us has. But have we responded? Responded to that invitation in repentance and faith? Putting our trust in the Lord Jesus. Because if you have, one day you will be at a wedding, and I will be at a wedding like we have never been to before or never imagined. The wedding of the Lamb. And hear me one last time. You'll discover you're not only a guest, you're the bride. And that invitation comes by the grace and the love and the mercy of God to all who will believe. Let's bring our worship this Lord's Day evening to a close as we think of these things and we sing the hymn that's found at 1011 in our books. There's a place where the streets shine. Word of God draws to a close, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The Word of God goes on and says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described. If anyone takes away, God will take away from him his share. And then these words. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Amen. Amen.